So one thing that I keep saying, you know, because I work in responsible AI field, is when it comes to AI, we shouldn't be just thinking about what AI could do. We should also be asking what AI should do.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to HIMSCast. My name is Mike Milliard. I'm executive editor of Healthcare IT News. We'll be speaking today about artificial intelligence, how it's evolving, how it's being deployed across healthcare, and what we can expect in the years ahead.
So is it fair to say that most of the work you do involves AI applications on the consumer side, folks using social media and stuff like that, and not as much with the clinical care delivery side?
Yeah, that's true. So there is some work we have, which is focusing, and depending on the application, focusing on decision makers, right? So people who are going to take the recommendations or decisions from an AI system. So as an intermediary, you know, to then execute. So of course, there's a lot of work in criminal justice, for instance, where these systems are making decisions about criminal intent. And then there is an intermediary, like a judge, who's going to take this input and do the ruling. Similarly, hiring of recruitment managers, right? So there are some work that's focusing more on those intermediaries who are relaying the decision to the average user. But most times, yeah, we're focusing on the end user.
So speaking of social media, a little company called Meta, used to be known as Facebook, is a rather large player in the social media space, has recently announced that it's studying human brains to kind of better train its own AI models. And I guess they're looking at brain waves and patterns and activity in the human brain. Is that accurate? And how, what do you think of that?
Yeah. So this idea itself is not new. We've known for a long time that we could detect certain patterns in people's brain waves and use that as a proxy for their understanding what they're thinking, mm-hmm. right? And so people in psychology have always had this kind of hypothesis and work. In the last several years, we've seen these things actually making through in the rounds in HCI, human computer interaction, field. My lab actually did some work. So I have this little device, which again, this is called Emotive. It's at least 5 years old, 7 years old, maybe. But the idea is, you put this on your head. It's got sensors that detect your brain waves in real time. And the idea is that you could essentially start reading into people's mind, right? Now, of course, there's no easy translation that you just get this brain waves and it just tells you English words for it. But the way we work with this, for instance, is you train your model. So you can say, you can have a human participant who can wear this and you can ask them to think about a word. Mm-hmm. And then you see what patterns emerge in their brain waves. And then you ask them to do this again and again and again. So you kind of start associating that pattern to that word. So you know when they're thinking about that word, that pattern is what emerging. So now you can reverse engineer. So next time when you see that pattern, you can say, well, I'm 90% confident that they're thinking of that word. So we did some work, and we're not the only ones. A lot of people have done. So for instance, we had built a demo where you have an ebook in front of you, and you are wearing this headset, and you think about turning a page, mm-hmm. and it turns a page, right? So you're not touching anything, you're just thinking about turning a page. There are demos where people fly drones using this. So you put this on and you're thinking about, up, you're thinking about left, and then this is connected to the drone's operating system to let it actually do this. So this brain-computer interaction, as is often known, that's been around for a long time. What Meta is trying to do, kind of leverage on the research that that connects that and language models. So language models are essentially, and this is of course, also very popular. It's being used in all kinds of applications, is where we can say, well, we can predict what the next word would be. So it's not just about, hey, this is a brain signal, brain waves for a signal for a word X, but because you thought about word X, you're likely to also think about word Y that comes next. So even though we don't have the brain wave for that yet, because you haven't actually thought about it, but you're likely to think about it next.
Right. Right?
And after that, you're going to think about Z. So they're connecting these two lines of research, one that leverages the connection of your language to the brain waves, and the other is the language model, which does the prediction of what words and phrases and even sentences that could follow, right? What comes next, actually, that's even more interesting, which is you can start predicting intentionality, right? So we know from research in psychology and HCI and other fields that certain words trigger certain emotions in us. When you hear some certain things or when you think about certain things, certain emotions or intention follow that, mm-hmm. right? And so what Meta is trying to get into is not just predicting the next word, but also, as I said, next sentence, next paragraph, next whole story and intention. If this is what you're thinking, what is likely to be the next thing in the next minute, next hour, next day, right? Now, of course, we're not there yet, but that's sort of the trajectory.
It's fascinating. I mean, I can see some applications already. I mean, obviously in healthcare, you know, natural language processing is a huge component of, you know, clinical documentation and you know, easing kind of provider burden in their workflows. So, I mean, if we can take that a step forward and be predictive even more with text, that's useful potentially, but it's also, you know, a bit ethically, you know, quandarous, I suppose. I mean, if we're thinking about, you know, actually studying brains and I mean, it sounds to me like a logical endpoint of this would be to actually essentially read people's thoughts. I mean, is that a fair way to put it?
Exactly. So that's my other part of this take, right? Because as I said, I get excited about AI and I work in it, but I'm also mindful of this other side of it. So mm-hmm. I do see a lot of ethical, you know, challenges here. So for instance, we know that what we don't know here. So we're excited about this possibility. And I think that's what Meta is, you know, excited about. But we've seen the other side of it, that we build something and we haven't thought this through. So in this particular case, for instance, you could detect that somebody's thinking. So imagine, you know, and this often happens, you're in a meeting where you're just bored and you're thinking, God, kill me. This is now I detect this, that you want to kill yourself or you want somebody to kill you. But if I'm a human, I understand what it means that you're not literally thinking of killing yourself or killing somebody else, right? But right now we don't know if this system eventually would actually have that intelligence to not make those conclusions. And this is just a very simple, you know, example. The way these machine learning models are trained, they are leveraging a lot of data from our existing sources, which are prone to be biased, highly biased, right? I mean, so the example comes to mind is what Microsoft did a few years ago with their agent called Tay, right? And she was an agent that was just run loose on Twitter. Within a few hours, she learned all kinds of racist and sexist things and was tweeting, and then they had to, you know, take her offline.
Yep.
Because she was dipping into our quote unquote knowledge of the world, and that's what she came up, you know, learning. So I think we know that there are problems in the way our current state of knowledge is, the expression of that knowledge is in, whether it's Wikipedia or the open web, God forbid, Twitter. And so without thinking through how we're going to use this language knowledge, how we're going to put the guardrails to make sure that we don't end up, you know, treating something like, you know, in a really harmful way, it's really dangerous to do this work, in my opinion. And we've seen plenty of examples. You know, facial recognition is another example. We got excited about the possibilities. It was going so well. We didn't think about the ethical implications. We didn't think about the societal implications, regulatory, you know, issues. And so now, having made tremendous, you know, scientific advancements and technical advancement. Now we are scaling back. We're taking, you know, so that's just a huge waste of intellectual resources over the last decade. And so I think this is another example of not thinking through what are the implications? How is this going to be used? How are we going to make sure that it doesn't end up causing more problem? Right now, we're just once again at a stage where we're excited about what this could do. So one thing that I keep saying, you know, because I work in responsible AI field, is when it comes to AI, we shouldn't be just thinking about what AI could do. We should also be asking what AI should do. And I think this is a prime example of what we are so focused on what AI could do and not, whether should it even be doing this? Is this even the right thing? Is this what we want to focus on for the next 10 years? Divert all our most prime intellectual resources to doing this, right? So yeah, so that to me is, I'm hesitant to just be purely excited about it without thinking about these implications.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing how fast this has evolved over the past 10 years, and it's only gaining steam. So when you look ahead 10 years, I mean, are you ultimately hopeful that there are enough good guys like you who are thinking these hard questions? Or, you know, when you look to the future, are you on balance? Are you, you know, more excited about what it can mean, whether it's healthcare specific applications or just in general? Or do you think some of these, you know, challenges and ethical quandaries we talked about are going to get worse?
I mean, by design, I have to be hopeful about it. Otherwise, why bother? You know, because I'm choosing to do this work that I'm doing. I'm in academia. I get to pick my projects, and it wouldn't make sense to pick something that I think is just destined to be doomed. I am hopeful. I also don't think it's the good guy, bad guy thing is not as simple. So I wouldn't just call out Meta as a bad guy and us in academia as guys or anything,
sure,
right?
Sure.
But I do think that there is a difference in the short-term gain and the long-term gain. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these things are driven by short-term gain. They're looking at, hey, this would be, you know, we got to plant our flag there because this is exciting. We got to leverage this, show what's possible. I know some of these people who are working in this. So I can see, you know, they're excited about what they're able to do that. And that's great. And I think we need that excitement. We need that innovation. But I think we also need, similarly, you know, that training in ethics. We need to really think through those implications. And the sooner we think, the better. So what I don't want to end up doing, which is what I have been doing and many others, you know, in academia, is cleaning up after mess, right? Where somebody somewhere gets excited about some solution like this, they build things, and then there is all this problems of bias and equity and fairness and so on. Mm-hmm. And then people from academia mostly, you know, step in to provide solutions and to create, you know, some of my work, for instance, have been about another layer of algorithm that de-biases the bias results, right? I shouldn't have to do that. This is not where we should all be working, where, you know, fixing a problem, as opposed to, hey, we could have actually avoided this problem altogether if we have been careful before. So what I'm hoping is, I think in the end, other than, you know, some people being for profit and some nonprofit, I think we all want a good, sustainable future for all of us. It's in nobody's interest if people are turned off by the privacy concerns, or there are these, you know, regulations that come down, you know, hammering away on, because there are just so many, you know, bad, you know, actors and so on. Mm-hmm. So I think we want it to be sustainable. We want this innovations. We want to actually, you know, take advantage of it. But the way we go about it is sort of different. So there's this mentality of lots of short-term gain. And somewhere if there's a problem, okay, we'll take a couple of steps back and then we'll go back. My work and many others in academia, we're trying to be careful from the design side, from the beginning, asking these questions, as opposed to wait till the problem is created. So I think that's where, so it's not so much of a good guy, bad guy thing, but the difference in philosophy. I'm hoping that as we, one of my focus areas now is education. So I'm hoping that this generation of students, you know, who are studying AI, that we are constantly talking about this, they're being aware of this, that hopefully they would go out in the in this tech industry and this market and will train the next generation and so on. So hopefully we'll start seeing some effects of it in the next few years as new generations of students have been trained with this thinking about, like, it's not enough just to be excited about new technology, but also think about this ethical, you know, considerations. So all of those reasons, I'm hopeful. And as I said, I have to be hopeful because I'm working towards it. I want this to be successful, of course.
All right. Well, I will share your optimism. Thank you so much, Chirag, for joining us today and discussing this. And thanks, of course, to the audience for listening to this episode of HIMSCast. We encourage you to rate and review us. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play.